I wanted this week to concentrate on a single poem with an appropriately Parisian setting for those readers of Paris Update who might be missing their favourite city at this time of restricted travel and closed borders. A few weeks ago, I spoke about Baudelaire's collection Les Fleurs du Mal, in which many poems evoke mid-19th century Paris. But the poem I wish to discuss is an iconic piece from a collection of poetry that appeared in 1913, just before the First World War. 1913 was quite a cultural year for Paris. Stravinsky's brilliantly wild ballet music, The Rite of Spring, was first performed in that year in the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées, causing uproar on the opening night. And the first installment of Marcel Proust's À la recherche du temps perdu was published that year also. And then 1913 saw the publication of Guillaume Apollinaire's collection of poetry, Alcool. The title, which was a late decision by the poet, signals an approach to poetry that was new and dangerous, suggesting the purity of distillation and evoking both the excitement and the sadness of drunkenness. Apollinaire himself had been close to the Cubist circle of painters, and he was involved romantically with the great avant-garde painter Marie Laurencin, who is thought to have inspired many of the poems in Alcool. Now, the long poem that opens the collection, Zone, announces itself as a piece that experiments with poetic form and subject matter, and that breaks with the past. Of course, the very first line shows this. À la fin, tu es las de ce monde ancien. In the end, you are tired of this ancient world. And much of the poem is set in various Parisian landmarks, but it is also moves between different times and places. Two lines bring out the importance of the title of the collection. Et tu bois cet alcool brûlant comme ta vie que tu bois comme une eau de vie. And you drink that alcohol that burns like your life that you drink like brandy. And by the final line, all notion of syntax, even in a poem that has no punctuation at all, disintegrates with the disparate words soleil coupé. That's literally translated as sun neck cut, but rather more poetically rendered by Donald Revel as sun cut throated. The second poem of the collection, Le Pont Mirabeau, seems at first glance to be much more traditional in its approach, both in its form and its theme of time passing and unhappy love. Now, the text of the poem is on the page of Paris Update, the link to it, with a variety of different translated versions. But we also have the unique opportunity to hear a recording of Apollinaire himself reciting the poem. And I'm just going to play this now, but you can also click onto it if you so wish.
Le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine, et nos amours, faut-il qu'ils m'en souviennent, la joie venait toujours après la peine. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure, les jours s'en vont de demain. Les mains dans les mains, restons face à face, tandis que sous le front de nos bras passent des éternels regards longs de silence. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure, les jours s'en vont de demain. L'amour s'en va comme cette eau courante, l'amour s'en va comme la vie est lente, et comme l'espérance est violente. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure, les jours s'en vont de demain. Passent les jours et passent les semaines, ni temps passé, ni les amours reviennent. Sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure.
Now, even though the poem seems not to be breaking the same kinds of boundary that Zone does, it has an eternal quality that sounds nothing like the modernist manifesto that Zone seems to represent. And yet, far from being a conscious imitation of earlier poetry, there are signs that Le Pont Mirabeau is very much of its time. First of all, the lack of punctuation, as in the other poems, allows words and images to flow into each other, rather like the river Seine that is depicted in the poem. The repeated refrain also adds to the sense of circularity and movement, and you can see that in the performance of the poem itself by Apollinaire. Another sign of the poem's modernity lies in Apollinaire's choice of a bridge that had only recently been constructed in the final years of the 19th century, rather than, say, many of the much earlier bridges in Paris, showing that he's not afraid to use a modern piece of engineering as an emblem of the poet who remains like the bridge, while his loves and time itself flow away like the river underneath. While the first two stanzas seem to offer hope of possible love, the following stanzas depict love as impossible. The brutal image that ended the opening poem seems to return with the description of hope as violent here, l'espérance est violente. In the end, everything but the bridge and the poem itself is transient. There is a fusion of the human, the natural world, and the technological. And the image of the clasped hands of lovers mirroring that of the bridge itself is perhaps one of the most memorable parts of this beautiful poem. Apollinaire continued to experiment with the shape and sounds of his poetry. His collection, Calligramme, published soon after his death, made the layout and typography essential components of his writing, where the visual shape of the words on the page were as important as the meaning of those words. It's particularly poignant and timely that we should reflect upon Apollinaire's early death at the age of 38. 2 years after being wounded during World War I, Apollinaire succumbed to the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918, the last time that a global virus has taken the lives of so many people across the world.